Welcome to the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast. A Southern storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcast, where you can go to find your most preferred music style of podcast. Hopefully that includes us, and that would be great. And Jason's here as always. What's going on? What's going on today?
I am just enjoying, Brian. There is so much good music, good new singles coming out from a lot of bands. Had the Cold Stairs stuff come out. We just had Tyler Bryan, The Shakedown. We had Goodbye.
Yeah, Snake June Oil.
And yeah, Snake Oil. Great, dude.
Because it came out on the 12th.
So interested to hear what this new record's going to sound like, but that is a banger of a track to lead off with.
Yeah, I guess the record's going to be called Electrified.
Yeah, man, what a great live band. If they ever come up your way, you definitely got to check them out.
Yeah.
They get after it.
Yeah, I know you were mentioning last night about all the records that are coming out this year and singles and whatnot. And then Mojo Thunder's got a new record coming out this fall, and single coming fairly soon.
Those guys, Bourbon House, obviously, because we're going to be talking about Bourbon House. Today is 4/16. The new single came out, or the new video for their single came out today. So we got to certainly check that out. It's on YouTube. It's Born No Good. You know, you'll hear a little bit about the making of the video and the concept behind it, but it is a lot of fun, and it's another fantastic song from Bourbon House.
You know, and they're going seemingly even more in a sort of blues rock kind of direction, you know, and they've been really heavy in the past, and I'm sure that'll stay there as well. But it's like, you know, just really great to hear that more kind of like, you know, earthy, organic blues rock type stuff from them.
And we know that Lacey sings live with that powerful voice. So yeah. It's never, if you go see Bourbon House in concert, Brian, it's never going to be tracked.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember American Bandstand?
I remember American Bandstand.
American Bandstand. Because, like, and we were kids, but, like, they always lip-synced on there. It's like, hey, man, we ain't got no amps.
I mean,
and had, like, the Super Bowl stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I would very much prefer to go to a gig and see my preferred bands playing and singing everything, and I do. I don't know if it's a crisis, though, unless you're Eddie Trunk.
And exactly. And Brian, I know you're a big Eddie Trunk fan, and you always pay attention when Eddie has to say. So what's he hot to trot about now?
And I am a fan of Eddie. This is not anything, you know, negative to say. And I know, I think even when we talked to Don
Jameson, we gotta like him.
When we talked to Don Jameson at the expo, he says, like, you know, him and Jim Florentine, like, they, I think he said something and said, like, yeah, we like to bust Eddie's balls, you know. So, you know, Eddie's a good dude. He gets real shrill when he's, like, you know, super amped up about something. And apparently Don Henley's been lip syncing. He's just like, I can't believe anybody accepts this. He's like, does he want us to join hashtag ban the Eagles? Throw your Eagles records in the garbage, ban them.
You know, and I get it too, because I'm sure those concert tickets are not cheap. Like, you know, the Eagles have to be a couple hundred bucks probably for the worst seats in the house. And you would expect them to sing. And the vocals are really the thing about the Eagles too, right? It's all those vocal melodies that these guys have. And man, if somebody's not singing live, that is a bad, bad thing.
Well, I think, if I understand correctly, like with Paul Stanley and Kiss, like some of that's there in case, like, you know, he couldn't, you know, obviously they, you know, they drop the keys in these songs and stuff. A lot of bands do that. But I, my understanding with Kiss, it was more like as a safety kind of thing for whatever reason. And maybe that's, who knows? I mean, maybe Don Henley's got laryngitis or whatever, who knows? And I'm not condoning it, but it's like, I don't necessarily know if it's like a catastrophic event that's going to lead to the downfall of civilization.
I think Eddie's point, and you sent me the clip, which was good because I got a chance to listen to it right before we hopped on here. His point is, I think, is if you accept that more and more people will do it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like also possibly a stereotype of, oh, Eagles got away with it. Let's do it too.
Well, we know Motley Crue's doing it because Vince Neil, and I loved Motley Crue, I did, but he's a lot. He can't sing anymore, and they absolutely use tracks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be an age thing. I mean, but it's
Yeah.
like, you could. I can think of different examples where tracks are used. I mean, even like Metallica, when they play Battery, they don't start playing until the riff coming in before the vocal, like all the acoustic guitar, and after that's all over played whatever audio tape, whatever you want to call it.
Well, you get older, you can't hit the same notes. If you've maybe not taken care of yourself either, God knows a lot of these guys parted their heads off too, and I didn't have the best vocal care. Now we see the opposite now of a lot of bands. Nobody really parties. Everybody takes care of themselves because kind of have to, because you only make money doing shows. But yeah, could be a lot of things. But yeah, and listen, I understand Eddie's point. I'm gonna cop to it. Not an Eagles fan, so
Oh
I
no,
find it
neither am
funny
I.
when
Am I like,
they're.
what do I care?
You would think we would like the Eagles
Well,
doing
I
the
mean,
type of podcast, you know?
the stuff that keeps my attention is the stuff like once Joe Walsh was in the band,
Yeah,
like in the
yeah.
Fast
He
Lane, stuff like that. It's,
amped it up. The guitars jumped up. Of course, he had his vocals and stuff. Yeah, Eagles were never a band that really super caught my attention.
perhaps there must be an Eagles podcast. Maybe you should reach out and talk to some
Talk to him.
folks, you know.
Oh, speaking of podcasts, I'm gonna get us off the subject real fast.
Sure.
I posted a fun meme, Brian, to our Twitter and our Instagram that says Megadeth had more hits. Megadeth has more has better more better songs than Metallica or something to that point. That gathered some attention, and it gathered some attention. I'm a huge Megadeth fan. I will argue to the grave that they've had a more consistent, better career than Metallica. Metallica's had higher heights, but Megadeth more consistent, better songs. So anyway, the guys at the State of Love and Trust podcast, which is a Pearl Jam podcast, had a little, they don't believe me. They don't believe me. So Brian, I've thrown down the gauntlet to him. I said, you and I would love to debate this. This would be a great topic, your podcast or mine, and I'm waiting to hear what they say.
Megadeth. And it's like some of my favorite stuff from them is the record 13 and then Super Collider, which a lot of
Yes.
Megadeth fans don't
Yeah.
like.
I know. Those are great records. Hell, that record they just had come out last year was really good. I'm telling you, Metallica has higher high. They've had the peaks way bigger than Megadeth, but Megadeth has better songs and better records over the course of a career.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Slayer probably stuck to their guns more than anyone else, as far as not veering
Oh, for
off. And
sure.
Anthrax too,
Yeah.
probably.
But it may be fun, Brian, for us to talk to the boys from State of Love and Trust podcast and have a little fun debate.
Yeah, no, that would be cool. I would totally enjoy that. Hey, before we get into our guests, like I'm more guitar talk over here, gear talk and stuff. Like now, when you for your whatever board that you have, it's like, can you explain that? It's like you don't have separate pedals anymore, right? It's just one.
Correct. It is one. It's the Sans Amp Tech 21 Fly Rig. So it's a multi-effects pedal board. What I have on here is two type of amps. There's a blonde amp and a plexi amp. So the blonde is a little bit more mellow. The plexi has, more punch to it, a little bit more bite. So those are on there. There's a delay. And then there's a reverb on there. So, again, our band doesn't do a lot of crazy stuff. I don't do a lot of crazy stuff. I use a little delay. I use a little reverb. I use a little distortion at times. So this is perfectly. And then you've got all the drive boost. There's actually a boost pedal too. So if you need to get a couple extra decibels, like if I'm taking a solo, I can click on that. I can cut through the mix a little bit. So yeah, there's a built-in tuner. Really nice. No, I'm holding it up because nobody can see it other than you. I really like it. And Richie Kotzen uses these. He has his own pedal too. And like I'm saying, if a guy like Richie Kotzen can goes out and tours with this, I think anybody who doesn't need a bunch of crazy stuff can go with it.
That's going right. That you still, but you have one orange amp, right?
I have an orange amp. Yep, I have an orange amp. So
Yeah.
I don't use the reverb on the orange amp. I turn it off. I use the reverb on my pedal. And then depending on what I want to do, like I can go clean or I can go dirty, and then I'll change my amp, plexi or blonde if I
So the plexi is
really
supposed
want to
to
dirty it
it's
up.
supposed to simulate a Marshall plexi, right?
That's
Or
correct. Yep.
so then that leaves me like, how does that, you have an orange amp, but you have the sound of an orange. So what does that, if you want to do the plexi sound into an orange, like what?
I don't really use that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I will usually, if I'm going to do something with some distortion or punch on something, I will use the dirty channel setting on the orange amp because I like it. I will, though, on a clean setting, sometimes to put the blonde on just for a little bit of flavor, a little bit of layering. It sounds pretty good. But mostly what I do, Brian, is I use the tuner, the boost, delay, and reverb to go with my orange amp more than anything else.
Okay. I'm just curious about like that. What's when, whatever kind of amp a guy is using, like, Nuex makes, like a plexi simulation pedal, like a Marshall. So I always think, well, if you got an orange, why do you want the sound of a Marshall? But I'm just wondering what the, if it makes it, what's that, you have a combination of the Marshall sound and orange, or
It
who knows?
it makes mud sound if you're not careful. You'd have to really tweak with a lot of like your low, mid-range, and high stuff to really do. It doesn't work. Like I like the orange sound. I use the orange sound. I don't play with tons of distortion a lot. Even if I do switch to a dirty channel, I take the gain down a little bit and just play with my volume a little bit and tone to get what I want. We've got a guy who plays lead a lot, and he's going to use a little bit more than I am. So I don't want to fight with him, and we're doing a sound that's not like a metal sound or anything either, where
Right.
we need a bunch of outboard guitars. But
No, I just
I just like this because it's I don't have to carry multiple pedals, a pedal
right.
board, power source. It's all kind of in one.
No, I just brought it up because now I'm becoming less of a pedal junkie, and I've been slowly taking things out, and now I'm starting to understand, an overdrive pedal more. That it seems like that kind of plays more with just your natural sound of the guitar. And like you said, you can, ride the volume to clean it up, or, to get a little more dirty sound in there. And I'm kind of, I've got the rat distortion in, and I got the big muff, and I don't know, like, if I really need to use those or not, just using, the guitar and the volume and just the overdrive pedal or two, it seems like I get a little more natural sound of the guitar.
Oh, for sure. And there's a lot of trial and error with everything. You can do a lot with tone. You can do a lot with volume. If you've got an amp where you can set the power on it too, like if you can adjust that, you can get more break at lower volumes or less break at higher volumes by messing with your power settings as well. So it's, I'm still, I've been playing forever and even playing the band forever and still tweak to try to get the right type of tone and sound I want. So I've done pedal boards. I've just done everything. And I do like the fly rig only because it's got a couple effects I want. And you can even run straight to a PA with it. And that's really where probably your plexi or even more of your blonde
Yeah, maybe
amps
that, there you
want
go.
to come
Yeah.
through. Yeah. So like I can go right to a soundboard right through the PA and don't even have to take an amp if I don't want to.
And there, I probably could have asked one of our guests. I could have asked Jason from Bourbon
Yes, you could have
House.
asked Jason from Bourbon House, who knows his stuff and is a very good guitar player in his own right.
Yeah, so we had Jason and Lacey. They're our guests for this episode, talking about their new single and video.
Which, again, just we're recording this on 4/16. I think this episode comes out, what, 4/19?
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely check it out. Born No Good. It's on their YouTube channel. Check the social media, seeing it on the social media. It's got a great concept. It's a lot of fun. And Bourbon House, you know what, Brian? Not only are they great making songs, but I don't know if anybody's really doing videos as well as they are.
They really do. They really do. And I have a lot of fun kind of trying to figure out the concepts of their video or what it I interpret. So
Have you seen the new video yet?
I have seen it.
Okay. Do you have any initial feedback?
It's this one doesn't really have like, I mean, they're just, people in a diner and then seemingly arguing a little bit, and then that somehow like develops into a food fight.
I think that Lacey is the person who's born no good, and she brings trouble with her everywhere she goes.
That could be.
And that's why normally those nice diners, I mean, there's greasers, there are nice preppy girls, there's a couple, and a big fight breaks out, I think, because Lacey just brings her bad attitude and bad charisma and makes people act up around her.
On the Bourbon House Patreon, I commented, now I want pancakes.
Right? There's so much pancakes in that. Pancakes and a cup of coffee, dude. I was looking at that. I'm like, man, it was dinner time and I was watching. I'm like, yep, pancakes and coffee would really be good right now.
And I thought about it afterwards. If we could have been in a cameo in that video, I wouldn't be in the food fight. I'd just eat my pancakes in the middle of like food flying by me.
We could be sitting there and discussing music and,
That
playing air instruments in the background.
would be cool. All right, you guys, listen to our conversation with Jason and Lacey from Bourbon House.
Going down, down, down. We're going down, down, down. We're going down. Do you hear that? Train coming. Do you hear that freight train coming?
We're here at the guest segment of the podcast, and Jason, who's ducking tornadoes, is going to introduce our returning guests.
That's right. So if I speak very fast, it's because there's oncoming doom. But luckily, to share in my oncoming doom is our friends. We haven't talked to them in a while, but they've been on a couple times before. And it's Jason Clark and Lacey Crow from Bourbon House. How you doing, guys?
Hey, we are great. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good.
Cool.
You guys look comfy. We were talking before the show.
Yeah.
Little cold there.
Yeah, it's a little
late
nippy.
Winter push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we're all blanketed up. Super comfy.
When is summer in Wisconsin? Like, what are the
July.
Good months of Wisconsin?
It's July and August.
What?
But it's muggy.
July, like
it's
the first
muggy.
Part of August. July in the first part of August.
It is. It's very humid and uncomfortable.
You can't breathe during those. You're gonna want to be inside the whole time.
Yeah.
They're not lying. They're not lying.
True.
Yeah, it's a thing.
So there's no time really where you can be outside in Wisconsin is what I'm
really
hearing.
Nice.
Too cold or
too
hot.
September and October. September and October are awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll remember that. So next time I come through Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'll try to plan it. If I go to Wisconsin, I have to go to Germantown because where my company has a facility in Germantown. Hey, there's balloons. How did that happen?
Why did that happen just now?
You have balloons, like virtual balloons.
We did not touch anything.
No, that's not us.
That's weird.
That was really weird.
So what? I swear we didn't do anything. That was awesome. Maybe it was like a work.
If trigger. It's a hallucination, it's a mass hallucination because we all saw it.
So Sinbad was not in that movie. Hmm. Yeah.
I did like a little emoji thingy.
And yeah,
I just saw that in your corner. I have no emojis.
Yeah, if you go to your reactions, You can get plenty of different things that can go on here like that.
Oh yeah.
The little angry face. This is a great discussion for doing a audio only podcast. People are like, what are you guys even doing?
You could do this.
But they're missing you guys in your Eskimo suits and your Snuggies right now.
Yeah.
Hiding from the Wisconsin weather.
That's why you got to have a YouTube version of your podcast.
Yeah.
We've done some stuff.
Have you?
Yeah,
a few.
But I think it puts people more at ease if you're just like, we can all see each other because we're on Zoom, but we're not going to post video. Nobody has to get in their stage attire or like do anything special. You know,
we would totally let you post.
Yeah, that. People just like to see who's talking. That's all.
Yes.
If you want, I'll put this on YouTube. This particular then they can see episode.
Then people can see the balloons.
At least they'll know what's happening there.
Okay, it's a deal.
You could do a clip at least of the balloons and the emojis.
Yes, absolutely. That was fun. What were we talking about?
I don't know. We haven't even got to the business. We're just talking about bullshit right now.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good to talk, Brian. It's good to talk to them in person. They're one of our favorite bands, and we like hanging with them.
Well, and I like analyzing your videos or adding what my perspective is. That's fun in music.
I like that too. We like doing videos and like hearing what people are saying, and I know that our last one was very kind of open-ended and open to interpretation. You already had some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
On what happened in it. Yeah.
Well, come on, Brian. Like, let's run through. Like, we're going to talk about the videos because they're getting ready to premiere a new song and video, and that's kind of why they're here. But let's talk about the most current one. Like, what's your whole theory on it?
Well, I had it as like. You guys are poisoning everybody around the table and pretending to be dead. And then you guys aren't dead, just pretending to be dead. And then you take off with all the money and jewelry or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I had something more elaborate than that, but.
Well, that was, we almost did that. And then we were like, is that too much? Like, it's kind of a lot. So we just kind of kept it open-ended, like, was it the chef dude that poisoned all of us? And why would he do that? Who knows?
Yeah, he's the only one alive at the end.
Yeah.
So we're verifying that there was only one survivor.
Or so we think.
Come back to life. So you think. Exactly. Who knows?
I was kind of hoping and thinking it's a little bit of homage to the movie Clue from the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
And that would make Jason Colonel Mustard? Professor Plum?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Who would you choose? If you guys had to be Clue characters, would you choose? Miss Scarlet for you?
Well, yeah, definitely.
What is Miss Scarlet, was she the one that ran the brothel or was she often the husband's?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that information.
does it, Brian, do you know what I'm talking about?
You see, you're going to get mad again. I'm going to get in trouble because like I don't see like most movies that everybody else sees.
Jason, do you know what I'm talking about?
It's been too long since I saw
it. You're talking about the Tim Curry one?
You're talking
yes,
about
the movie Clue. Yes.
I don't remember what like their things were, but she's like, you know, the hot one and the dress and stuff.
They were all kind of hot, although for Miss Peacock, the older one, Eileen Brennan. But like, you know, you had Yvette, the French maid, Miss Scarlet, and
I guess they all were. But on the board game, they're not. She's the only hot one on the board game.
We have the Simpsons clue, so it's like Lisa and Marge and you know whoever else. So
we do
the classy one. So the movie Clue, let's go back on this one. It was super cool concept, right? The movies, and Jason, maybe you remember this, but there were three different endings. There was an A, B, and C ending. And depending on which theater you went to, you would see A, B, or C. When it came out on home, yeah, right? And then when it came out on home video, the home video version would play A, B, and C, and then the real version of actually what happened. So there you go.
that. Now I feel like we need to go and look at all those endings because I
seem to remember that there were three endings, but I don't remember what the real version was.
You'll see that on the video, and it's a great movie. It's really funny. Tim Curry is Lacey Sad. Yeah. Eileen Brennan's in it. Michael McKean is in it. Like, there's tons of great actors, mm-hmm. and then Jane Wyland from the Go-Go's makes a cameo appearance in it as well.
Yeah, it's been too long. We should watch that.
You should watch it. I would love to hear Jason's comments on it because one of my favorite things in life is sending music to Jason to see if he likes it. I think I found like two bands that he likes, Jason.
Finding out that I don't.
He's very hard to impress. Very hard to impress this dude. For sure. That's funny.
It's just that I've heard it all before. Every time I hear some, it's not that it's bad. No,
you're judgmental. That's what
it's not that it's bad. It's just that it's not that. It's not special.
And that's why I send him music, because I got to see what I'm going to find that he actually likes. It's a game. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a good game.
It's a game. He made it his mission in life like 3 years ago. He's still trying to win.
We all need challenges.
He's still personal trying to get points. Get the half a point for something if I listen to the album more than once.
So I mentioned earlier, I really enjoy the premise of all your videos. Like, where's the creativity coming from? Is like, who's coming up with these? Is it like one person or a combination, or how's that all work for you?
Yeah, it's a combination.
Yeah, I mean, first Lacey and I brainstorm it. Just kind of throw ideas out there.
Yeah.
Try to let it develop as much as possible before we pitch it to the director. Sometimes we don't have much. Sometimes we have a lot. And then our director will add to it.
Yeah.
And everything seems to come together eventually.
Yeah.
So are you guys doing like a full treatment? So, hey, once you agree conceptually, this is what we want to do. Are you writing sort of a treatment, discussing the scenes? I mean, how do you put this whole thing together?
Yeah, we're full in it with the director. So we will, we'll do the treatment. We will have a whole mood board. And then we look for the venue is the first thing that we want to get out of the way. Then we look for the people we want in it, and all kind of just comes together. This last one that we just did is very interesting. It's a different than anything else we've done before. And basically we did not like rehearse anything or come up with any scenes until we were at the venue day. So yeah.
Well, I mean, what's the song? What's the concept again? Cause this is we're recording this on April 2nd, but when's it come out?
Yeah. April 12th. It's Born No Good. It's a ballad. It's a power ballad. It's very, very vocal forward, I would say, but we have a lot of instruments in there as well. There's an organ in there. Obviously like tons of layers of guitar. Anyway, that comes out April 12th, and the video would be out soon after that, probably the week after.
So conceptually, where are we at on that video? I've seen pictures online. I don't want to ruin for anybody.
Yeah, that's fine. The concept was we didn't have one, really. This was one of the first,
like, the concept is there's no concept.
Yeah.
So like Seinfeld, it's a show about this is a video about nothing. We're just going to show up.
Yes, exactly. It ended up being kind of about something, but like not really at the same time. We were like, we can't really visualize anything. The one thing I was thinking of doing that we haven't done before is doing a one shot video. So that was my only concept, basically, that I brought to the director. And from there, she was like, okay, I want to do one shot and also slow-mo. So we did a version of the song that is twice as fast. We sped it up twice as fast, except for his solo. We slowed it back down again. The whole time we're doing the video, recording it, we're actually trying to perform it twice as fast so that it's in slow-mo when they slow it down. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
If you've seen the video for Weezer, the sweater song,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did the same thing. Pick the song. They sped it up to double speed.
Yeah.
And then they...
When they perform filmed, it looks like they're doing it in slow motion.
They filmed the video to the song at double speed. And then they slowed it down to normal speed.
And yeah.
That's what you see.
To below normal speed so that it's like very slow. But yeah. So we did that. And then from there, we're like, okay, so we have a one-shot concept and slow-mo. But there was still like no... you know, no kind of visuals or anything. And the one thing we thought of was like, it's a sad song, maybe like a lonely diner, like a retro diner would be kind of cool to do that. From there, it evolved into a slow motion food fight. So that's what's going on.
So actual food.
Yeah, actual food, which had to be done in one take. So we had to rehearse like the whole thing. And then that one shot, we had to actually throw the food.
How do you rehearse a food fight, though? Just like, are you miming throwing things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we yeah. went through like 20 rehearsals on that part of the song.
Yeah.
Where we're going to be throwing food. And we used napkins and just other things that aren't messy. The owner was there sitting in the corner booth the whole time. So we didn't want to mess up his diner 30 times.
Well, he's in it just being like, what's going on? It's pretty good.
Yeah, so when we finally decided that we were ready to try it, we had to get it right.
Yeah. We had to, like, make sure we didn't hit the camera was the big thing, because then that would screw up the whole thing.
So did you guys get a chance to throw at each other?
Me and him did not get a chance to throw any food.
We wanted the chaos to be happening around us. Yeah. I'm holding
a guitar. Oh, so you're performing and it's kind of...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, you guys are the middle of the chaos.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
So this is a little bit more of a lighthearted, fun video than you typically, like your themes typically are.
It sounds fun, well, but it's actually not. Like,
but everybody dies at the end.
Yeah, everybody dies. No, that was enough. Like, people were like, okay, so it's like a nice, like, bubbly, you know, it's a cool place. It's retro, whatever. Happy times. Should we have, like, a fun food fight? And we said no. We were like, no, it's got to be angry. So it's like an angry food fight, actually.
I would say it's probably more of a serious artistic kind of video.
Mm-hmm.
Compared with the others. The yeah. other ones are more fun and lighthearted, even though, you know, with the costume.
Zombies eating people and people being poisoned and going to prison. Yeah. And
they're fun.
Very light. That's all very lighthearted content, Brian.
You know what we mean.
I know what you mean. I mean, coming from some horror writers, I mean, that is kind of lighthearted.
Yeah. Yeah. Going to prison, eating people. Yeah. Yeah. We're weirdo.
So a person I used to hear, like, back in the day on MTV, these videos costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's obviously not the case now, but where do you know, what's the process you go about? You find a director? Is it the same people that you work with, or how's that all go down? Obviously, like, you know, I'm not looking for any specific figure, but everything I hear nowadays is it's you can do it for pretty reasonable price.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't spend a lot of money. You know, we try to pay people fairly, obviously, but we don't spend, we try to get lots of stuff for free, to be honest. Like at the venue, we asked the owner if we could use it, and we were planning on renting it out. And he went and watched our other videos, and he was like, nope, I like you guys and I want to be in this. And like, he's like, just promote. I'm like, cool, that sounds good. So getting things like that for free helps us pay like an extra camera person or an extra light person. But we do work with the same director, Jocelyn Berriman, every time. We basically give her a budget and then she builds the team around it. The guy that we're using for the director of photography, though, this is the second video, he did Freight Train with us, and he's doing this one with us too, because the colors and his like, yeah, he's got some good stuff going on, so we wanted to use him again.
So is that someone from your area or somewhere in Wisconsin or
Milwaukee?
Okay, right on.
Yeah,
they're kind of from all over. I mean, we had somebody from Plymouth, you know, they were only like 15 minutes away from the the diner.
Yeah.
People kind of live all over the place. The actors come from all over the place. Mm-hmm. There's people who know us or they know the director.
Yeah.
If they know somebody involved with it and they want to be part of it, then
we had a super fan drive like 3.5 hours to be in it.
Yeah, sometimes fans nice. Want to be in it, and if they can make it, then do it.
Yeah, you are welcome. Go for it.
At some point, I'm going to send my daughter up to work on one of these things with you, because she wants to do video production type of work, whether it's marketing or things. So you need some extra hands at some point. I will put her in a Snuggie and send her to Wisconsin.
Yeah, whenever she wants to be involved, she's welcome.
She won't need a Snuggie if it's July or August.
That's true. It'll be the opposite. But it's cool. She used to do like some commercials and some modeling and really enjoyed the production side of it, you know, and was in like background scenes of some movies and said, hey, I'm going to do what they want to do. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to know people in that business to get that stuff, to get some experience.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get it. It's super fun to do that. Yeah. I would like more too. Hey there, Kitty.
Unfortunately, she takes after my wife. So she's, you know.
You know.
Not from me. Not for me. I do have a question for you guys on this, the video stuff, because you're really, really good at it. And I know you probably some your writing background helps, because you guys are both we're authors, creative writers. But what is your favorite part about the video making process? And then we're going to start from creation of the music all the way to like the final cut editing piece of it. Like what, and the separate answers for you guys. So like, Jason, what is your favorite part of the whole process?
Mm-hmm. The actual shooting of the video is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of start thinking about that really right after we record the song. We're kind of getting an idea of which songs could be singles. And if it is a single, what would the video look like? You know, so mm-hmm. every so often, sometimes we make a comment about, well, if we do a video for this, it could be, you know, it could involve this or that. But you know, it's a lot of thinking and brainstorming and sometimes a lot of stress too. But once we get there and start recording it, that's when it's really fun.
Yeah.
You know, even just watching other people do what they do, it's fun. Watching the director and the videographer,
because
they're so good at it, and it's just fun to watch them do it. Mm-hmm. Like the video that we shot this last weekend, I didn't really have much to do. I didn't really have to do any acting or anything, and that's fine with me sometimes, as long as I get to just watch, you know.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch it all come together and then hear the reactions from everybody.
Yeah. Honestly, my answer is pretty much the same. It's actually shooting day is very fun. I would just love to do that all the time. All the dang time.
Well, with what all the work that you guys have been doing now and all the connections you make, I mean, is that a reality? Because, I mean, clearly you guys are very creative conceptually, musically. You know, we see what comes out on the videos.
Yeah. Yeah, we are making a lot of connections with, like, film, you know, film people. And we got asked to be in a film project that we neither of us had, like, actually acted before. You know, like, we've done music videos, and that's, you know, it's kind of acting, but we're also doing something that's very comfortable with us usually. Like I'm lip syncing to my own voice and he's playing guitar. So we had to like actually like say lines and do things on the spot, kind of improv. And it was super fun. But yeah, we just got asked to do that because we just knew people involved. Now, because of this. So,
hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
So you guys did a kind of like a casting call for this last one, and you know, I replied to that as wish I could have done that. It would be great.
Oh yeah, see, was that based in Food Fight?
So is that basically, you know, that's what you did? You just on your social media just reached out to people? And...
Not every time. It depends on what we're planning on doing. We felt like a Food Fight would be pretty like easy for like you don't have to be like an actor, you know, really to pull that off. So we thought it'd be fun to get people who really wanted to be involved in it. Sometimes we want people to be better at acting, so we would actually cast them. Yeah, like for the zombie one, we wanted some acting girls, you know?
Yeah. A lot of times we do have to hire professionals. I mean, we've hired acrobats, choreographers,
right,
dancers,
right,
you know, people who have special skills.
Yeah.
Other times we just need someone with
some
basic acting skills.
So if Jason and I were ever to make a cameo in one of your videos, like, would we play ourselves? Would you have a part for us, or start out like we're on the podcast and the song comes up? What would you make us do?
I don't know.
Well, I would say that
something weird.
You could be a radio DJ back in the 70s.
Yeah, you have DJ vibes.
And then you could have like a creepy guy calling all the time and asking.
Yeah, Jason.
That's me. That's me. I'm the creepy guy.
Yeah.
Requesting the same song every day.
And it's your song. And it's your song.
Pretty good.
And maybe one of you or the creepy guy can crawl out of the video monitor like in The Ring.
Oh, that's me.
Or the band crawls out and performs while the DJ, like.
All, like, wet? All wet?
Yeah.
Yeah. See how fun it is to come up with concepts.
Yeah, and that's just off the top of our head.
So what song on this album, this upcoming album, would that work for? None of them.
Talking to demons.
Talking to demons, maybe, yeah.
Well, could that be. Would be like the demons coming through the screen and, you know, like in The Ring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Or the video dead, that cult 80s. Have you guys ever seen the video dead?
Uh-uh. What's that?
Oh, my God. All right. It is a late 80s kind of cult movie, a little bit low budget, but the whole concept is there's this cursed television. And when you have it and turn it on, it actually, the living dead come in through the screen, and now there's a zombie apocalypse.
That sounds awesome.
It's well done for low budget, but it is low budget. It is called The Video Dead. You can find it on like Tubi, which always has free stuff, and some other, you know, occasionally on Amazon, maybe it's on there. You know, streaming.
We'll find check it out. The Video Dead.
The Video Dead. Yes, correct.
Hey. Nice.
Sorry, derailed again. Clue in The Video Dead. Those are our assignments. Clue in The Video Dead.
Yeah. Sounds good. We always need recommendations. We get very bored. I hate trying to find something to watch.
Oh, I've got great, great recommendations. My wife will tell you that she usually turns and leaves the room when I'm watching stuff.
Sounds perfect.
Well, let's stay on this topic. What kind of films do you guys like to watch, though, when you're snuggled up and hiding from a Wisconsin spring?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes we like to watch scary movies. We tend to watch a lot of, like, true crime.
Yes! Brian, you have your first guess. You have your first guess.
Yeah, lots of true crime. We like funny things, like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but you have to wait forever for the season to come, binge watch it, and then you're like, no, I'm lost forever. you know, Seinfeld, we can rewatch over and over again. I don't know, there's stuff like that.
Do you have a true crime recommendation for me? I've probably seen everything, but.
Go on Spotify. They have a whole bunch of true crime podcasts.
Yeah.
There's one called Serial Killers, one called Cults, one's called Criminal Couples.
Did you watch Making a Murderer? That's Wisconsin. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that got pretty big. I'm trying to think of one that would you. The Staircase?
The what?
The Staircase?
Yeah, seen it.
Well, this might not work, Brian.
Brian, pitch your rock and roll podcast concept right now.
Rock and roll podcast?
You and Tracy and Suzanne are going to do it.
Oh, that's how you were too. Yeah, well, we did a tribute episode to Britt Turner, the drummer from Blackberry Smoke, who passed away. And we had a couple guests, well, more than a couple, but Tracy Hightop, the guitar player from Jane Lee Hooker up in Brooklyn, and then Suzanne Sledge, who used to be in a band called 6875 down in Atlanta. And I think it was before we even started, we weren't recording, and I don't know how we got on the topic, but they're both like huge, like true crime fans. So when you said that, Lacey, I'm like, yeah.
I saw it. I was looking at Brian.
We're true crime fans. And so I don't know if it was even partly serious or kind of joking too, but like, yeah, we should start some sort of a combination rock and roll murders and true crime, like music, rock and roll music, and true crime combo podcast.
You should do it. We will come on. We will research case to talk about, and it'll be really fun.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that too. Like for like when we do this, like all Jason and I have to be is a couple of chuckleheads that like the rock and roll. It's like we love music so much. You look at something for a second, you already know all about it because you're so into it. So like, would we have to be like too like knowledgeable and serious if we did a true crime podcast? Could it be like cracking jokes?
No, I don't think so at all. I think humor and that go together. I think.
You say they do go together or they don't?
I think they go together, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't be insensitive about it, but we got to laugh at the shit that goes on, you know?
Yeah.
You're talking about morbid things. I guess a little levity is a good thing.
Yeah.
So first guest, Brian, we already have.
Yep.
We already got the. I think you're committed to doing this. I'm there as support. I'll help and do what I got to do. That's like, this is great. You guys, we all have to come up with a crime that we want to talk about, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm watching whenever, because we started a chat group. So if you guys want to be on that, you know, every time I'm watching something, I'm like, hey, I'm seeing this, you know, for the first time. Hey, going back on that Making a Murderer, like, is there, what else has happened with that? I mean, that gal, that lawyer that was so convinced that she was going to get those guys out. Did that all come to an end, or is there anything?
I'm assuming that they're still working on it, but nothing's happened. Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
The government needs to authorize the retrial. They won't.
Which case is this we're talking about?
Stephen Avery and Brandon Dassey from Manitowoc. They, I don't know. They think that they're framed, basically. Well, they think that they're basically pinning the crime. Like, they're done investigating because they're like, the crime's already pinned on them. We're done with it. But there's all this evidence that, like, they're not guilty. So
there's basically no evidence supporting that he did anything.
Yeah.
But the prosecution just wanted to nail him to the wall because they did that the first time. And then after spending many years in prison, he was found innocent. So they let him out. And then he sued them for $2 million.
And then they convicted him.
And then they just threw him right back in there. Yeah. Convicted him with a different murder.
Is Stephen Avery or one of the two guys, like, I'm going to say learning disabled or something, and sort of cop to it under pressure? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You know what we're talking about. Yeah.
There was something on, I'm going to say Netflix a couple years ago, maybe a documentary, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all on Netflix. Yeah.
I think my wife and I watched it, and it was a female that was murdered, and something had to do with like junkyard or used cars or somebody's car.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, it seemed like that poor kid got like ramrodded by the law enforcement and prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very memorable to me because that's when I was sick with COVID. And so like I was doing nothing but sitting watching that and like sleep for a couple hours, wake up at 2 a.m. and like, well, I guess I'm watching another episode. And then you get hooked.
They did a good job with like making you come back for another one. The documentary people were very good. Yeah.
I recall that. So that may be interesting. Is there a rock and roll crime or murder that would be great to talk about?
There are some. I feel like there's definitely quite a few.
There's the John Lennon assassination.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones.
Brian Jones, right?
Yeah.
Who mysteriously died.
That's right. But that might be a good one to talk about.
Syd Barrett, right? We don't really know what went on there. Who else died? Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys. Fell in the pool and died. We don't really know what happened there.
See, all this content would be great.
Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Phil Spector, yep.
And people who think that Courtney Love killed
Kurt Cobain.
A lot of these are conspiracies, but there's a lot of information they'd be fun to talk about. Dig up. And you can go on Spotify and there's already a lot of podcasts being done. Things.
Mm-hmm.
If you can think of it, it's already being done.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so there's lots of content to talk about there.
I think we got the concept, Brian, and the people.
Rock and roll murders!
We're there.
Forget about what Bourbon House is doing on these videos. Let's talk true crime.
Well, once you get hooked on the true crime podcasts, you may never listen to music again.
Right. But if you do, listen... our music, Bourbon House, as we're part of the people of the True Crime Pop, Rock and Roll True Crime Podcast. Yeah. Maybe you get new listeners.
Uh-huh.
see, that's the next record after this one coming up. That's going to be your, you know, a concept, like rock opera, true crime story.
Ooh.
You know, the joke about writing a rock opera is like not, I don't know, it's not that much of a joke to me. Like, I kind of want to write one. Like a little bit want to write a rock musical. That would be so fun.
Have you guys seen Rockula?
No. That sounds stupid.
It already sounds bad.
So
where do you find all this stuff, Jason? Jason Johannes.
It's hard to say, Brian. It's hard to say. So Rockula. Have you guys seen the movie Summer School with Mark Harmon?
No.
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 Oh my God. Have you seen, so you guys like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
The episode a couple seasons ago where they were at this mountain skiing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember that? And there was an actor on that. He was the older guy who was still trying to do
like wig on.
Okay. That guy was he had a decent kind of cult career in the 80s, early 90s for a bit. He was in Summer School, but anyways. So the premise of Rockula is this guy's a centuries old vampire. And he can only get he can only become human again if he finds the love of his life. And it's a musical. He's becomes in a band. Like it's a whole like rock opera, Dracula comedy. It doesn't really achieve a good level on any of those things. It's a mishmash, but you know, if you it has oh, Brian, help me out here. The singer for the song Mickey.
Mickey, You're So Fine.
You're So Fine. Yes. Toni Basil. She's in it. She's in the movie. I think she plays Rockula's mom. Like, it's, I don't know.
Nerd.
Everybody's like, what is wrong with you? Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
So, rock and roll nerd, zombie nerd.
Jason, you need to watch it because I need to know if you're going to like it and the music in this.
So, based on the title, I'm going to give it 3 stars out of 10 or 100. And I predict that I won't be able to get through the first couple of scenes.
You said it's not good on any of the things that they're supposed to be
it
good.
It doesn't achieve the level of what they want as a musical horror comedy, but when you combine everything together, it's strongly average across the board. I give it a B+ on concept. I think the concept is good. I think in more capable hands, and you really pushed it in more in one genre than another, you probably could have something. I could see Bourbon House, Lacey and Jason doing Rockula, redoing Rockula. Jason, of course, being Rockula, Lacey being the love of his life. You could do it. You could do it.
All right. Well, we'll look into it. yeah.
Jason's thinking. I'll send you music ideas. No more movie ideas anymore on our messenger.
It sounds like Sharknado or something.
Oh yeah.
Something that sucks on that level.
Yeah.
It's Sharknado intentionally wants to be bad, right? I think that's the whole purpose of that.
Oh yeah.
Rockula, it's not trying to be a bad movie, it's a B movie.
Oh, okay.
The actors try pretty hard.
They do.
Trying to be bad.
Yeah.
But there's so many cameos. So many cameos. Mm-hmm. And what happened to Tara Reid? Like, she had something going for a bit in the 90s and just kind of dropped off a cliff.
Sharknado happened. That was...
Wasn't she married to the guy in Biohazard?
Bass player. I think you're
Evan
thinking of
something
porn,
or another.
I think you're thinking of a porn actress, not Tara Reid.
Oh, okay, it could be. Because did you see like the MTV had the show Supergroup, and it was Ted Nugent and Sebastian Bach, yes. Guy Jason Bonham and Scott Ian from Anthrax, and so that Evan was married to a girl with the same name.
It's Tara something, but I think it's a porn actress. So there we go. I'm glad I'm the only one who knew that. I guess I am the creepy guy. Really, if we do this concept video, I have to be the creepy caller because I'm living up to it. Son of a bitch, I'm just gonna shut up. Brian asks questions, I'm done.
Well, let's get back into music. What's going on? Tell us, you got a record coming out?
Yeah, probably the record we're thinking is going to be out in September. We have...
The one good month of Wisconsin.
The one good month, exactly, so we can celebrate it. Outside! We have, after this single, Born No Good, coming out, we'll have 2 more. After that, and then the album.
In the meantime, you got gigs, you got a tour coming up, going on.
That we do not have going on. No.
There was a whole clusterfuck.
Yeah, we had a whole thing go on. We had a manager. We don't have that manager anymore. Through that manager, we had several agents, apparently, who were booking shows, apparently.
Allegedly.
Yeah, we kind of called him out on some stuff. In January, we had a big talk with him, and yeah, now there's nothing. So, yeah, It's like it's really rough to try to like book up your year after the year's already started because everything is just everything's done, right? Like already everybody's calendars are pretty much full. So yeah. Also, we don't have time to really book ourselves, you know? So
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your goal then this year? Do you want to get on some couple festivals, a couple like short, you know, tours geographically if you can? Like really, what would be a realistic expectation for the live music?
Yeah, I think like some smaller little runs, some smaller tours. I think that that's still realistic for, you know, the fall and the winter. I think that that's definitely realistic. But yeah, like summertime festivals and stuff, obviously we'd love to get on it. We were right. supposed to be submitted to all of them, you know what I mean?
Basically,
yeah, like nothing, like we kind of got screwed over.
Yeah, so. Basically we signed on with a manager and a record label last summer, and we were told that we were being booked for this whole year, and that our singles were going to be
dates.
That our singles were going to be promoted, and he was talking about going to Europe for a little run. All
huge
of these
name
things.
Dropper.
So by the end of the year, we wait 6 months, and no tour dates have come in. Nothing has happened. The first single, which we released in September, wasn't promoted. Mm-hmm. Nothing really happened, and we're like,
yeah.
Is anything going to be happening for us in 2024? Have you booked anything? And as it turns out, nothing was happening.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, that was a waste of
time. We basically asked him to send us like the exact dates and like proof. We basically asked him to send us proof. And the next day he was like, well, it sounds like this isn't working out. We're like,
I mean, what did he expect? Like, he's promising all this stuff. It doesn't deliver. At some point, it's going to come out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, we kind of got screwed over. But we, you know, just keep doing what we can do with our releases and our music videos and stuff and just building ourselves up. We were even supposed to go over to, like, Europe. He's talking about booking us in Europe and in the UK and stuff. And we're like, cool, like we're down, let's go. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of unfortunate too, because bands like you guys and your genre, a lot of the bands we talk to, just the Europe scene is so much better than the US scene, the venues, the way you're treated, the appreciated, the music. It's really sad, like kind of in the US where,
mm-hmm.
you know, you sort of have to go to the overseas to get really appreciated.
Yep. Yeah, we've heard from a lot of the bands that are on this podcast. They're like, yeah, you got to go over there, and they keep going back, you know. So obviously, it's a good sign.
It was interesting that you said like things are usually booked before the start of the year, right at that point. So it's not whether you're doing it yourself or with a booking agent. It's you can't just like at any random time say find this many shows or. It's really done that far ahead, and that's kind of like the cycle is like seasonal or.
Well, it's getting even further and further ahead with the amount of bands. Like almost, there's just so many bands now.
Almost a year in advance. Like,
yeah,
you know, the festivals that are going to be happening this summer got booked last fall. Last
yeah.
So when we thought we had someone booking for us last fall, we thought that person was booking us for all these festivals that are happening in 2024.
Yeah.
But since you didn't do that last fall, there's not going to be any festivals for us this year.
Yeah.
Probably not, unless something really weird happens.
Unless somebody, you know, drops off and
the band breaks up and the promoter
reaches out to us. You know, basically, that's how that would happen.
I can't imagine how frustrating that is because you know, these people just say trust us, or they don't have you check in with them, or vice versa. They just say hey, trust us and talk to us in X amount of months. Or
yeah, wow. That's good. Every time we talked to him, it was basically that he was like, oh, trust us, and yeah, I have the dates, I'll send them to you by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Friday comes and goes, and it was just like chasing him around. Basically.
And then it's, I'm taking November off for Thanksgiving. Oh, I'm also taking December off for Christmas. And then it's, oh, I'm going to be sick for 2 weeks, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. And we're like,
that happened one time. He knew exactly when he was not going to be sick no more.
I plan my sickness ahead of time. Just
sounded to me like he was just kind of putting us off, and he didn't have any news to report.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
does he rep other bands, Jason? Does this guy rep other people's? Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, bands you know, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, right. For sure. Oh, and he was a huge name dropper, and he does have he does know these people, and he does have credentials, and like, but just I don't know.
Wow. What about for you guys for like your region? Like, haven't you guys? Do you guys played Rockfest in Cadott?
Yeah, we played the last 2 years.
Last 2 summers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is you're not going to play anymore. Years in a row, but
we
did Summerfest right in Milwaukee once too, right?
We never played Summerfest. No, we submitted to play there. I don't know when they announce or not. Okay. We submitted ourselves to play it. No, we've never played that though.
Yeah, I thought you played a pretty big fest. Maybe that's what Brian's talking about. Okay.
Yeah, in Madison.
Okay. All right, because there were big names on that bill too. I think you guys even kicked it off that first day or whatever day you're playing.
Yeah.
Do like the venues prefer to respond to people that have a booking agent?
Yeah.
Because we do know like some people that do their own. So like, is that more? You're less likely to get something if you're booking on your own.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely. One thing that we were trying to and are like totally willing to do, and we think it would be fun, is to play some venues that are smaller and probably don't go through agents and just have their own crowd, their own fun. And we would do a longer set where we would add a bunch of covers. So we would do like a 3 hour or whatever night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were thinking about doing stuff like that. And I think that that's totally possible. Those owners tend to be like super nice, and it's great to build connections with people like that. When we've played acoustic shows, we made, you know, a lot of friends doing that. But again, it's just like, we would have to do it ourselves. Like, we have to reach out to these people ourselves, and it's so time consuming. Like, there's so many other things to take care of, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess we could hire somebody who doesn't necessarily have to be a legitimate booking agent, you know, friend, somebody who wants to make
some extra money. We should get another band to book for us as our booking. We should
there book you go.
As their booking agent.
Well, but then what? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it does.
No, because then we're still doing work that we don't have time for.
Being an adult is stupid. You know what? Being an adult really is a dumb thing.
So dumb.
So that was going to be my next question. Do you have any bands that you have camaraderie with that are going through the same thing or whatever that
every band
can be put together?
God, yeah. So many bands.
Every band we've talked to go through what we're going through. They have gone through it, or they are going through it.
Yeah. You know? Or they're, you know, we know a lot of people around here who are like really small bands who play free, you know, and just like they get on build like six bands together, and basically it's like a friend night, which is, those are fun. Those are definitely fun to do, but it's not necessarily the best thing to do, say. So you're always playing for the same people, just other bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sorry. It sounds like such a bummer that there's like a booking agent. I'm not a business person, but you would think like, I'm a booking agent, I'm going to book bands. And you're saying that other bands are having this happen to them. It's like, what's that going to do with the reputation of the person that's supposed to be like doing that business?
Agent. Well, we think, we're pretty sure, because we've heard from some people that tried to book us, that they were charging a lot of money for us.
So
that seems to be probably the issue why they didn't get us any shows, which is not good also, because now the venues think that we're like delusional.
Yeah.
Why do they think that they're rock stars? So, you know, there's also that. This is like the nature of the industry. It's really, there's a lot of people who don't know what they're doing. And then there's a lot of like shark people, you know, mm-hmm. Sharknado people. I just thought I'd
there's your Rockula people and your Sharknado people. You avoid yeah. both of them.
Yeah.
Well, when the music industry was this big, huge, giant promotional thing, you'd always hear about people like that. So kind of for some reason, it surprises me that the music industry isn't that big, that there's still that those kind of people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And it's been happening since we hardly had even any followers. There was people trying to get money out of us and try to, you know, exploit us in whatever way they can. We've been pretty careful, and even being careful, we've been screwed over many times. So yeah, nuts.
So when that stuff's happening, does it ever, you know, lead you to like writing more music, like turn into your guitar, turn into your vocals, and like using that frustration or that drive or whatever, like let's do more music? Does it ever, that kind of thing ever happen? Does that play into like the yeah. writing process?
I would say yes. I would say it definitely does. Like for me, I get kind of like, okay, well, so that part of the industry sucks. What doesn't suck is writing songs together, mm-hmm. you know, and recording songs and making these videos and talking to our friends on their podcasts and stuff. That shit does not suck. So let's just do the things that don't suck.
Well, it just surprised me so much because I don't, for some reason, I'm thinking like when we, you know, don't people just like call like a venue and say, hey, man, I know about this great band. You should have them. I'm dreaming that it should be that simple.
Right. It should. It would be nice.
Well, it is if you're only asking for a couple $100s.
Right. Yeah.
Can book yourself, or you can book another band. You can be a booking agent and you can book up 20 bands at a time. Yeah. Or whatever, if you're only asking $100 or $200.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not realistic to travel from city to city on a $200.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
There's lodging, food, and
there's
salary of four or five people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So you really need $1,000 a day to be on tour.
But
nobody's gonna pay you $1,000 a day.
Especially because most bands that are out that you see that are playing constantly, that is what they're making, my friends. They're making $100 or $200.
A couple $100.
Yeah.
And these bands that are ahead of us. So if you sign on with an agent who thinks that he can get you thousands of dollars and he's calling all these venues asking for that price.
Exactly.
I mean, he's not going to get you any gigs.
Yeah.
Because working on commission, he's hoping that he can make a living by booking you.
Yeah.
And theoretically he could, if he could get the gigs, but no venue is going to pay a band thousands of dollars a show, thousand or more a show, if you know, unless you've sold tons of albums, you know, and you've been around for 30 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically
so rock and roll lifestyle is fun and profitable.
And so profitable.
It's kind of like being homeless and a drug addict, but you can't afford drugs.
So you turn to true crime documentaries.
Exactly what it's like.
That was so deadpan. That was good. On the positive note, I think you, again, going back to the whole video thing, you guys have gotten so good with creating these very entertaining, very original concept music videos. In the absence of radio airplay, even live shows and things, is that something when you do a really good job, a really creative, really fun video, another way to gather fans? Does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So it's not like we're just like, well, we're just going to keep doing this and like whatever. Like it is still a goal to build our fan base to the point where like we can be getting paid really good money when we play a show. Yes. Yes, absolutely. We grow our fans that way. And our Spotify is getting better too. We're learning. We're learning a lot of stuff as we go along and working with new people too. So, yeah.
Have you ever been approached? I know like another person who was approached about, you know, ever get approached to like write music for like whatever, like a nature documentary or whatever it might be, like music for just a series or a show, something like that.
That would be sweet. Yeah, if more people could know about us that way, we would definitely do it. We have been asked, but it's from my sister's boyfriend.
Right.
There's AI that can make music for
yourself for that.
For yeah. free now. So musicians don't need to really sell their music to shows and movies anymore, you know, unless they specifically.
AI is not good enough.
If you need a specific song that's a famous song and you try to get permission for it, but they're not going to pay an unknown band thousands of dollars just to use their unknown song and their. That's throwing money away, really. And there's databases of songs that film producers and TV producers can look through to choose from, and they can use them for little or nothing. So
one thing that I'm really grateful for, I don't mean to cut you out, Jason, but
no, you're
good. One thing I'm really grateful for, like with Jason and I, like we do this out of pure joy, and my hat is off to so you guys and so many other, all of these bands that we talk to that, like, once again, like referencing that there's no big, huge music industry anymore. There's no big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And I really see that, that people are, you know, writing music, making records, going out in there and play for pure joy, because there's not this big, huge amount of money to be made. And it's, I can't even imagine, like, it's just, I'm just so impressed by that kind of commitment when all these setbacks that you guys are experiencing. And you know, Jason and I don't have to like worry about that. We just do this, you know, for the same reason out of pure joy, but we don't have to have that stress of like, you know, trying to make a living out of it. So I'm just like, my hat's off to you and feel bad for you. And, you know, it's just awesome what you're doing and hanging in there with it, man. I can't imagine.
Well, thank you. I mean, people still need to make music. We, you know, like the world needs that. So unfortunately, you can't really have it be, unless you're huge, you got to get really, really huge, which is hard. It's really hard for like anybody to get big enough to have a good living off of it. We know bands who are way further ahead of us that you wouldn't expect also have day jobs. You know, you have to have multiple streams of income. You can't have your own.
They're not making any money. If they have, you know, if they don't have, you know, 50,000 YouTube subscribers, they're probably not making any money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not.
And millions of streams on Spotify. Mm-hmm. If they don't have two things, they're probably not making any money.
Yeah. So you do have to have passion for it and just know that you're doing it because you have to get the music out there, but know that it's not going to be your primary source of income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brian and I are swimming in, what do we have, Kellogg's Fruity Pebbles and Kroger money now? Our last podcast. We have random commercials on our podcast now, and I'm always amazed at what comes up.
Yeah, we're on Pantheon Podcast, so they run ads like 3-4 times in the episode. So. Okay. We see, you know, we get some pocket change from that. I should be careful about saying that. I'm not trying to like, you know,
it's
for us. We hope that it's, you know, enough. Like at some point we can buy t-shirts and give them away. You know, real interest in merch right now as far as that, but you know, making a little bit of pocket change.
I make the merch. I'm the merch guy. But it is kind of fun. Like getting your point is like, we do it because we like it. We have no aspirations at any point in time. We're going to be able to quit doing what we do during the day and do this. It just doesn't work that way. You know, this is fun. So every once in a while, Fruity Pebbles throws us $5 and we're happy.
Nice. Love that it's Fruity Pebbles.
There was one, an episode a couple weeks ago, there was a Fruity Pebbles commercial on and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. We got a Kroger grocery store commercial and a couple other things.
Nice. Very cool.
You know, whatever Pantheon wants to put on our stuff.
Yeah.
I do have one question for you guys on the run and hot or what or conversation. I love that video so much. I love the concept of it. I love the summer camp, the slasher stuff. Who came up with that idea?
I'm taking it. It was me. I'm taking it for sure. Yeah, it essentially was just that. We're like, okay, so totally this is going to be like a 70s summer, like or late 80s summer camp, whatever. Yeah, I don't remember how we came up with like girls eating boys, though. How it got to that.
How did you get, were you guys always ghouls or whatever? Like, and you were trapping the counselors there? Is that the whole?
Well, the thing is, the boys made us so hot
that you turned into man-eating counselors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I know Jason, he broke out the acoustic guitar and wooed you, you know.
Yeah. But was he wooing me or was I wooing him by
were you
by
setting him up?
Ah, see? Because I was hungry.
But that's great, though. You know, you guys are horror fans, I think. Or you at least still write horror stuff.
I just
saw that, and I was like, man, that would be like an American Horror Story series or something, just with that concept.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's one of my favorite videos, too. I think it's really, it's funny, and it's fun to watch. I think it's good.
I think, especially the last two albums, the videos are becoming more and more creative. Very well produced. Like, you know, you couldn't tell that this was an indie production, really, when you watch special effects and all the things that are going on, actors. It is just tremendous. And for everybody that's listening too, go to Bourbon House's YouTube channel, check these videos out. They are really well done. And it reminds you back in the heyday of music videos when they actually told a story, you know, mm-hmm. they kept your interest like in the 80s and 90s, like kind of the peak times of music videos.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell him what Carlos, our DP, said about when he gets asked to do music videos, remember? Because he does quite a few of them.
Our videographer, who's done the last two videos, the one we just shot and also Freight Train, he shoots a lot of videos for a lot of bands. And he said when he heard that he was going to be shooting another Bourbon House video, he thought, yes, at least I don't have to go shoot another band playing in a warehouse. Because that's what every band wants. They just like, can we just like, we'll just like play the song in a warehouse?
Yeah. Oh,
cool lights and stuff, have smoke and cameras.
Yeah.
Maybe a smoke machine. Yeah, that's never been done.
Yeah.
Because it's always a challenge. And it's a lot more fun when it's challenging and it's something you've never done before. So he got to try things he's never tried before. And we all did things we've never done before. And it was just, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise I wouldn't really want to be a part of it if we were just playing in a warehouse.
Yeah. Boring. We did that video, but.
Well, yeah. Kind of with like your early stuff too. I know it was very, I won't call it low budget, but conceptually it wasn't as,
wasn't as
colored or expanded. Yeah, broad. Thank you.
Yes.
Is what you're doing now. And you guys are doing such. I love your music, but I get more excited when I know a video is coming out because I know how great it's going to be, how much fun it's going to be.
Oh, I love that. Yay.
Cool.
That's awesome.
But I'm also the guy that watches Rockula. So what really, what taste do I have?
Yeah. Is your taste really something we go by? I don't know.
Is your seal of approval really worth anything? He will watch everything, the video dead in Rockula. No, but it's true. Like, again, if people are listening right now and you've not checked out, one, check out their music, obviously, but go to the YouTube channel, watch the videos. They are just so much fun. It just looks like they are a blast to shoot.
Mm-hmm. They are. You should definitely be in, you should both be in one sometime.
Yeah, I'm game. Like, I'll bring my daughter. She can sit and watch how all the stuff, you know, how it's done. And let's go. You can throw her behind the scenes. She's done that kind of stuff. Brian and Ike, I'll be the creepy caller. Brian will be the DJ. It'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll work out really well.
Yeah.
I do have a pitch for you guys, Jason and Lacey, right now.
Okay.
I don't, and if I've told you this before, one of your previous episodes, stop me. There is a time in the mid-2000s where me and one of my friends, the guy who's in the band with me, we were writing, we were doing ideas for a production company out in L.A. And we came up with a movie concept, which was like School of Rock meets Office Space. It was called Incorporated. Story was, there is a guy who always played bands in his whole life, college, whatever. Graduates college, goes to work in the real world in like a corporate office environment. Of course, that is life crushing. So he forms another band with people from the office and they sing songs kind of about office life. And it just becomes a whole thing. Love Interest is the executive secretary. There's a love ballad in that called Executive Secretary. The antagonist is the executive who's trying to sniff out who this band is. And so think about that idea. We did a treatment like 60 pages, mm-hmm. got a little bit of interest, but it, you know, it wasn't similar enough to other things that have been successful. So
yeah. Right.
But that's, I'm thinking awesome. Bourbon House video concept.
Mm. Do you want us to do one for you right now?
No. Okay. I want your thought on the concept of Incorporated.
What do you think?
Hurt my feelings. It's okay.
What's the thought? Do you have any thought? I don't know.
School of Rock meets Office Space.
I like it. Work. Yeah, exactly. I think it's cool. I don't really have a visual, I guess, on it.
I'll work on that. I'll work yeah, on the you visual.
Visual.
But that could be your rock. That could be your rock opera, Incorporated. How crushing music industry, corporate music industry, just destroys the souls of the rockers. And this right. is what you're doing to get back. You're writing right. anti-corporate songs.
Well, it's not. It wasn't even the corporations. I mean, there was big corporations running the industry in the 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way up to 2000. Everything collapsed because of the internet and yeah. social media.
So you got to kill the internet, really.
Well, we can change the angle of the antagonist to who we're raging against, because we got to rage against some kind of machine. Maybe it is social media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe instead of working for a corporation, like, you know, a business corp, you're working for a social media platform of some sort.
Yeah, like a TikTok. If your songs are longer than 30 seconds, you need not apply.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And you can write anti-TikTok songs and anti-Facebook songs and all the, you know, all the, it's there. I think it's there. You just got to massage it a little bit more.
So yeah. the originators of the social media, they get kicked out, and then the musicians use it properly for what it's supposed to be used.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. You know? the whole conflict of my story was this guy who had done these bands was so disillusioned by the corporate business lifestyle that he had to create this music with people from work that was against that whole thing. Right. So mm-hmm. we could certainly do that concept of people who create these bands or these things who are kind of against what they're already working to do during their day jobs.
Right.
And the IT guy from one of the IT guys from the company was the sound and light guy. And he was a comic relief, and it was just a classic character. It would have been worth the movie just to have the IT guy. Was a big Rush fan, obviously, because everybody in IT yep. loves Rush. And role-playing games like D&D. He played D&D and listened to Rush. And I do love IT professionals. Again, if you're listening, I'm not making fun of you. I understand. I was giving you the spotlight.
They know.
They know they love Rush.
Well, I mean, should we really besmirch Canadian rock bands? What was that, Jason?
I've been to a Rush concert. I was the only one there who didn't have like little nerdy glasses.
And a pencil protector?
Yeah, I felt out of place. I didn't have like ink leaking in my breast pocket.
Lacey, you're going to let him besmirch the name of a good Canadian rock band from your homeland?
I suppose I am.
I'm not picking on a band.
Yeah, the fan.
You're picking on the audience that goes to that. Oh man, I'm sorry. I threw that out there, Brian. We had Heather on, who does production work in LA. I pitched that. She also crapped all over it, so that's fine. That's three strikes. Mark Gordon Productions, you crapped on it, Heather, and now Bourbon House. So back to the drawing board.
You can't let go of your concept. Let it go, man.
But it tells my story. Needs to be heard. The people need to know. Are we giving them lightning questions, Brian?
Sure.
Okay. I hate these. I'm so bad at fast stuff.
I feel like I ruined this whole interview at this point, and I should probably let Brian do the lightning questions.
Per usual.
Brian, do the catchphrase, because I can't ask questions without the intro.
Oh, hey, Jason, is it that time of the show?
Jason and Lacey, can you guys stick around for a couple extra minutes and do some lightning questions with us?
Hey, yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
They're never coming back on, Brian. They're never going to be back on.
It's your fault, man.
And it is totally my fault. Okay. Favorite flavor of Pop-Tart?
I actually like the s'mores ones.
Going with some chocolate and marshmallow, okay, Jason?
Yeah.
Raspberry.
Boring.
Are you doing frosted or unfrosted on that raspberry?
It has to be frosted.
Is it the blue raspberry or the regular raspberry?
I don't eat Pop-Tarts. I don't know. I haven't had one in years.
Well, I was going to say, my next question was the last time you guys actually had a Pop-Tart.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 3 or 4 or 5 years ago.
I'd say two-ish.
They're random, and there's so many different flavors now.
Yeah.
I know. I want them every Just time like, I see them. I'm like, I want to try that one too, but I don't.
Just say they're for the kids. Keep them for the kids. That's the excuse.
Yeah.
It's like Mountain Dew. It's like Doritos. All of a sudden, there's 700 flavors.
Yeah.
Every time you turn around, like Doritos have a different flavor. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with nacho cheese?
They got to have a flaming hot version of everything.
Yeah, that's a thing too now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why is that? What is this hot food, like spicy food trend stuff?
I'm not into it.
I could tell you why, but I'm not allowed to say it.
Why can't you say it? Because
don't say it. Because I don't trust you.
Jason, message to me later. I got to hear this.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me your thoughts. I do truly love sending stuff to Jason to see if he likes it or not. I get so much joy in my heart. And, and when he shits all over it, it brings me joy too. But it's such a challenge. I love
it. I actually feel really bad about it afterwards.
Never do it. Never.
I shouldn't have told him that I didn't like it.
No. Listen, we're friends. I expect honesty. And if you're going to, don't lie to me, man. If you don't like something, it's fine.
It's like, it's like the, what do they call it? The burden of knowledge. When it's like, when you're really smart, there's like a.
What?
There's like, I'm not saying that. Okay, shut up for a second. Like when you're really smart about something, there's a downside to it. And when you're really honest, you feel kind of shameful about it.
Never feel shameful for me about giving your opinion.
It hurts, so you feel bad that maybe I hurt his feelings or whatever. You know, but you can't bring yourself to lie about it. Oh yeah, I love it. I love that guy that sounds like, great value Skinner. Yeah.
But Blackbird Angels, once you went back to it, you liked it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to give it.
Yeah, it was okay.
You got to give it another listen.
Yeah, I've been to that 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, and okay is like success for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for, man.
You can get up to a 3 or 4 on the 10-point scale, you're doing really good.
See, and I love it. It's so much fun. I'm going to continue to do it, and you continue to be honest. And the thing about me is, don't worry about hurting my feelings. I don't have any.
Okay. Is that because you've been married 20 years?
Yeah, pretty much. I've got this running joke.
The more you suppress your emotion, the more successful you're going to be in life. In life.
A couple years ago, around our anniversary, one of our friends was like, "Hey, it's great you haven't killed each other yet." And I said, "Well, not physically."
Yeah, just emotionally.
Exactly right. And my wife knows if anything ever happens to her, there's no other women. I said, consider it. You've ruined me for all other women. She's probably upstairs listening right now and going, I heard what you just said to them. But she did think the not killing each other joke was funny. So at least I got points on that one.
Okay.
Jason, I like how you picked up on that and called that out right away. That's, you know, that's another man that's been married a bit.
Yeah.
Lacey's not impressed.
Uh-huh.
As soon as we're off this podcast, you're getting it.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said you only asked us one question so far.
I know. I went on a rant. I mean, the lightning questions aren't because they're fast. It's just because they're stupid. I posted this on Twitter today, so I'm going to throw it at you guys here. If you had to pick both a video, and Brian, I want you to answer this too, by the way. If you had to pick a video and also a song that defined the 80s, now it could be the same answer for both or different. What would you choose?
That defined the 80s.
Yeah, like this song is so 80s. It's like the 80s and this video is like 80s, man.
Go for it. Oh, can I do Journey Separate Ways?
I guess.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah. Because that music video is awesome.
That music video has air keyboards in it.
Yeah.
Guys playing air keyboards on the dock. Yeah.
It's great. That's mine.
Except, is that a song in the video or just the video for you?
I mean, the song's pretty quintessential 80s, too, I would say.
It's pretty 80s. It's pretty 80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jason, you got one or two?
Yeah, and I guess it's a little bit of a trick question because you could pick a really cheesy 80s song if you have sort of a negative view of the 80s. Like you might say something like Separate Ways, or you might say, you know, Men Without Hats, Safe Dance, you know, and you're like, oh, because the 80s are so lame. But if you say something like Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, then, oh, yeah, because the 80s are so artistic.
Sledgehammer. Right?
So I guess it depends on how you answer the question. But I would say the quintessential 80s song is something like Power of Love.
Oh.
Huey Lewis, right?
Huey Lewis, yeah.
I can't remember the video, though. I think it's just a bunch of clips from the movie, right?
It is, correct.
Okay, so it's not really a great video.
Yeah, but the 80s also were defined how good the soundtracks and the videos were in the 80s, right? Like
the movies were, you know, sensational.
Yeah.
They're you know, a lot of them have been timeless.
Yep.
Ghostbusters, they're still running the franchise, you know, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say for video, I'm going to go with Sledgehammer, and song, I'm going to go with Power of Love.
Great, good, great choices. Brian, what do you think?
Oh, man. First, I thought you were going to ask me what my favorite video from the 80s was, but I don't know if this works.
It's not favorite. It's like, what do you think kind of defines?
But it has to be something that conceptualizes the 80s. I mean, there could be any number of metal videos.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's opinion, really.
I don't know. Probably Def Leppard Photograph, something like that. I mean,
good one.
It could be any, you know. And best song that most represents the 80s?
Yeah.
God, I don't know.
Think all the one-hit wonders or like the Cyndi Laupers or the Madonnas or Bruce Springsteen. Like there's a lot of like stuff that is 80s.
Yeah. Material Girl comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, girls just want to have fun.
Well,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
well, I thought of, like, on the satellite radio at work, it was Bruce Springsteen, Dancing in the Dark, or what's
Dancing
the actual
the
name of the song?
Born in the USA? I mean, there's...
No, the one where Courtney Cox gets up and
yeah.
dances yes. on stage with them, that mm-hmm. song.
Yep. That's a good one. Quintessential 80s right there. That's where Courtney Cox, like, looked like a boy. She had the boy yeah. haircut and everything.
Yeah.
yeah. Manic pixie dream girl of the 80s. I have two thoughts on this one, and they're both, I think, music video song, but you could do Aha, Take on Me, and that's a pretty, yep. like...
Or Walk Like an Egyptian, yeah.
Walk Like an Egyptian. Somebody told me that today. I think you could do Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. I mean, that's, like, 80s of shit, too, all around. Just for a song, like, Come on, Eileen, Dexy Midnight Runners.
I was going to say that. I love that song.
Like, that song is not a hit anywhere except, like, 1981, you know? That's just an 80s song.
All right, The Reflex by Duran Duran.
There you go. That's a good one. A little new wave action. I mean, Girls on Film, Rio, Hungry Like the Wolf. From Duran Duran. There's so much stuff, but, like, you know.
The Cars, you think?
You might
think.
They
made great videos.
They did. They did. They were the precursors to Bourbon House. Now we have Bourbon House. Hold on.
Is it Bourbon
House?
Bourbon House.
That's what I thought too. Because last time I said Bourbon House, and it no, it's not weird.
Huh.
What the fuck?
I don't know. So weird.
So odd. All right, if you guys could each pick a celebrity to be friends with, who would you pick and why?
Ooh, celebrity to be friends with?
Yeah.
I think I would want to be friends with Theo Von.
Theo Von from, like, Road Rules?
Yeah. From Road Rules, yeah. Or from, like, his podcast or whatever. Because...
Wait, you're not cheating on us with other podcasts, Lacey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. he seems like, first of all, the most genuine person ever. He's super funny and he's very nice, and I think that would be a great friend.
I don't want to be insulting, but is he really a celebrity?
Totally.
Yes.
Okay.
He's
all right.
Stand up, and he's like the second most popular podcast in the world.
Really? No shit. Yeah. Okay. I'm learning
this
things.
Weekend, check out this past weekend. It's been like in the top 10 for 7 years.
He started just by himself. Just him.
What's it called?
This past weekend.
This past weekend.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to check out the episode this past weekend. And I'm like, what's it called? Who's on first?
Like, what did I do this past weekend? Blah, blah, blah. And he would talk for like an hour straight just by himself. That's most of his episodes are that.
All right, Apple Podcasts, this past week. I'm looking for it right now. I'm going to trust you guys.
Yeah, he's very silly.
I don't get out. I'm too busy watching Rockula in my free time. I can't do anything else. Oh, he had Kid Rock on.
Yeah. Well,
the clip that I keep watching over and over is when he had Will Sasso on after he'd had Jesse Ventura on, and then Will Sasso does the Jesse Ventura impression.
Yeah.
Oh, he had Trevor Bauer on? Oof. Sorry.
Yeah, he was a red. Bobby Lee on, and those are pretty funny together as well.
Anthony Jeselnik, he's funny. I like him. Adam Devine, funny. John Mulaney, good. Who's Stavros Halkias?
Some of them are like random people, like a garbage truck driver or something.
Oh,
like,
okay.
People at all.
Okay. All right. That's your pick. Well, I will accept Theo Von as a celebrity.
Can I pick?
I was incorrect. We're waiting on Jason.
Oh, okay.
Then you can pick.
Then it's your turn.
Guests go first, Brian. This is your podcast. You can talk whenever you want every week.
I have no idea.
What? You don't want to be friends with nobody?
Yes, he would.
not know who. I don't know who to pick.
You might have to move on to Brian and circle
no
back.
Way. Okay. All right. We'll give you extra time, like the guy who can't figure out what he wants on the menu as everybody else orders. Brian, yes. What are you picking?
For some reason, what popped in my head is Mark Calloway, better known as The Undertaker. Seems like he'd be a cool guy to, you know, go to the grocery store with him.
Nobody's going to screw with you right. If that's your buddy and you're hanging with him. Yep. Like, you just don't get messed with. I had a roommate in college. He's crazy. Actual crazy. He used some performance enhancers when he worked out and also was known to like to, get in the fisticuffs with people. Every time I went to a bar, though, like, nobody ever messed with us. So
nice.
And he already told me, he's like, I won't let anything happen to you because I need your part of the rent. So I was like, all right. It's like I'm walking around with your own personal bodyguard.
That's a good friend to have.
He was like Kevin Costner, and I was like Whitney Houston. It's great. In fact, he may have carried me out of a bar at one time. All right, Jason.
All right, I'm going to go with probably Damon Johnson or
Tom
Cooper or Ollie Freed.
Nice. Yeah.
Or Chris Robinson.
You can't pick that many of these.
It's a four-way tie.
This is why we like him, Brian. Like, those are great names.
Who would you say between, you said Damon Johnson, Ollie Freed, Chris Robinson, who else?
And
Tom Kiefer.
Yeah, I think we could talk about the Blues probably forever. Well, any of those, all those guys.
Yeah. And Damon Johnson's such a really nice, really good dude. Really good.
I have met him, but
I think when I saw Brother Kane playing in the fall, I sent you clips directly, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because I know you're a big Damon Johnson fan. Yeah.
Damon's been on twice, but we'd love to get Tom Kiefer or Oddly Freed on, but word on the street is those guys don't do podcasts, very rarely do any sort of interviews.
But Oddly has asked questions to Tony about us, so we may get him.
It's true. Okay.
I have a picture with Oddly Freed from last year.
Jason Patterson from Cry of Love, the drummer.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very active on social media.
Is he? Okay.
I've talked to him a bunch of times. One time I was in Little Caesars and they were blasting Cry of Love. So like I picked up my phone, I recorded it and sent it to him.
Nice. Yeah. Did he respond?
Yeah.
Was it Peace Pipe? What were they playing?
Yeah, they was playing Peace Pipe.
Peace Pipe. That first record is so good. That first
Oh, I love God, record. Dude. Yeah, it's so good.
Man. I didn't introduce me to that.
But he has a lot of stories. I've asked him, what's the most memorable experience from tour? And he talks about meeting Steven Tyler and Robert Plant. And like, he's got stories, man. He'd be a good one to interview.
Brian, I think he would be great.
There's still a massive cult following for Cry of Love.
There's a Cry of Love.
You're talking Jason Patterson?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a Cry of Love Appreciation Society fan page on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Jason, you must be on there because I know I'm on there.
Yeah, I'm on there.
Good choices. See, you thought a little bit, you came back with great choices.
Well, yeah, I need to think a little.
That's all right. You are a deep thinker. It's okay.
I don't need a lot of time to come up with a stupid answer.
I don't need
me either. Brian and Jason are the thinkers. They're like, I'm just spout stuff out.
Yeah, whatever comes out, that's the answer.
All right, two last questions. What if you had to pick an age to be at for eternity, what age would you pick? Like, what's the best age?
I like being 28.
Okay. That's very specific. 28. Why 28?
Because it's between 25 and 30. I feel like 30 is when I started to feel old, but 25 is still too young. 28. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Jason's thinking. He's thinking. Brian and I know the answer because we've already agreed on it with previous guests.
Oh, there's a right answer? Okay.
Well, there's a really good answer we feel strongly about.
Okay.
Jesus said to don't pick 33. So I'm going to pick 32.
That is a good one. Why would you pick 32 though?
Well, because you're not quite 33.
That's the answer.
it's the age when you're most likely to get crucified. So
and since we just passed Easter, we don't want to be crucified.
It's an Easter joke.
Yes. So we're going to split the difference between the two of you. Brian and I feel strongly about the age of 31. You're still young enough to not feel your body fall apart, but you have enough wisdom to still get by. Like, yes.
32. That's why basically
we were all 32. Same area here.
Yes.
My daughter asked me one time, how old were you when you felt like you were all grown up? And I said, 35. And she laughed. And I said, well, I hope it's not 35 for you. But for most guys, if they're honest, it's about 35.
Yeah. So, I would say mid-30s, 34. Guys,
almost every guy I ask, they'll say, oh, 35. Some of them still aren't grown up, and they might be.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You guys feel grown up, because I don't.
Yes. Well, I mean, growing up in the important ways. I mean, there are other ways in which you don't need to grow up. If you still love rock and roll, like you did when you were a teenager.
But that's like putting all the important stuff first before any you.
If you want to keep eating Pop-Tarts and you're 49 years old.
Well, you're not very mature now, are you?
Then that's not growing up, my friend.
Sometime you just need a quick treat out of a foil package, Jason. You know, sometimes you just need.
Don't you hate it when you take them out of the foil package and there's a corner broken?
Yes, always. Crumbled. Yes. And then sometimes like the frostings or the jelly is stuck to the packaging too.
Mm-hmm. That
sucks.
I mean, why is that a breakfast food? Because that can ruin your whole day.
That could the rest of your day is ruined. It's just you don't recover from the broken Pop-Tart in the bag.
Then what do you do?
I don't know. You just go back to bed.
How do you toast the little triangle thing? You just put that in the toaster too. You'll never get it out. It's gonna burn.
Well, now if you have like the air fryer, or we've got this combo. It's an air fryer. It's a toaster. It does everything. You can put it on the tray, and then you could throw it on the toast setting, and you can take care of it.
I
want to
put a Pop-Tart in the air fryer now.
See, you know what's good in an air fryer. You know the Uncrustables, those little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
I've never bought one of those in my entire life.
Oh.
They look dumb.
Throw it in an air fryer. It'll change your life.
But it's just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich frozen, right?
Yeah. It's like a little mini one. Yeah.
But with no crust.
No crust. That's why it's called Uncrustable. Correct.
Can you buy the crust separately?
Just a big box of crust. And it looks like French, like the frozen French fries that you would get. You could air fry those.
There you go. There's our sponsor for the podcast. The All Things Blues and Southern Rock podcast brought to you by Crust.
Crusts. Does it? So is crust spelled with a K or does it end with a Z and not an S?
Oh, it has
which is it? Yes.
Wait. How?
How what?
How? What do you mean?
So, do you spell crust with a K, or do you end it with the instead of the S for crust? It's a Z. Just look, you know.
Oh, plural, plural crusts.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, but wait, like he is not the same.
Well, you're not getting one crust in a box. It's crusts.
It's just one crust. It's crust.
One crust in an individually wrapped foil packet where the corner can break off and piss you off.
Tiny sliver of peanut butter.
The K looks a little fancier, like Crunch Amps.
Ooh. I mean, we could dress it up. So we partner with Uncrustables. We take their crusts and we sell them. And like it's sustainable too. It's environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
Nobody's throwing away food. All right.
Yes.
That would be one of those reader ads that we'd have to do.
Probably. We'll have to. All Things Blues and Southern Rock Pie. Sponsored by Crusts. The sustainable food. Holy shit. That's pretty bad. Did I even ask? Go ahead.
I would call it Crusties.
Easy.
So There is a pancake and waffle pre-made mix called Krusties. K-R-U-S-T.
That's probably what I just imagined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I get it. It's a really good pancake mix. Now, I add my own, some ingredients to it to spice it up, but it's a great base. Yeah. Cinnamon. Cinnamon in your pre-made pancake mix is the key. And then if you got a little bit of vanilla, you know, baking from bacon, throw that in there.
Yeah.
You'll never go back. You'll never go back.
Sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. did I even ask? Oh, I asked the age question. Okay. All right. Last question. I've lost track. What are and this is for both of you. What are the last three artists you've streamed or listened to?
I would have to go on my thing.
I would have to take a look.
Because I put on playlists a lot. So that would be...
I'm going to have to cheat.
Well, yeah, you can
cheat. It's open book. Open book test. Absolutely. Use your phone. Use whatever you got that has your music.
Spin Doctors.
Really?
Because I was listening to a playlist.
Okay. Was it Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, or was it...
Yeah, that song was on the playlist, but then I went to their artist page and I listened to Jimmy Olsen Blues and Cleopatra's Cat just because I haven't heard them in forever. And I'm like, you know, these guys have one good song, but they really only get appreciated for two songs.
Yep. Do you know Chris did a blues record?
Really?
No, I will send you the link. It's really good, legitimately. I will send you the link. Yep.
Under a different band name, right?
Yeah, just Chris Barron. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I do want to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. The guys from State of Amorca, the Black Rose guys, actually made me aware of it.
Nice.
Interesting. I got a playlist that I made called just 90s rock and pop. And
is that your decade, the 90s? Is that your big one?
This is when everything started to fall apart.
He has a playlist for all.
I have like 35
every decade.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, not for every decade, but
even some of them are genre or.
While he's looking, Lacey, I'm going to throw this question out to you, your own question. So, the best 90s alternative rock vocalist, I'm going to give you multiple choice.
Okay.
Eddie Vedder,
mm-hmm.
Lane Staley, Chris mm-hmm. Cornell,
you already or know
okay. D okay. Other, somebody else.
It's Chris Cornell.
Okay, that's right. Yep. I was in arguments over the weekend with friends.
Everybody else's name right now.
You don't have to be, say, Soundgarden's your favorite music or the best, but vocally, you could top Chris Cornell.
So there's a guy that we discovered, and you might know some of his music. His name is Pete Shoulder. He's British. He's been in several different bands. One of them was The Union, and I know that they had some good stuff going on. They had like Classic Rock magazine, like the Covermount CD, they were on that too. None of his bands have really like exploded. Like he doesn't stay with any of them for long, but he has a Chris Cornell voice.
Really?
He's very good. And his music is good too. Like The Union is good. Winterville is another band that he did with good. Sloper is definitely. Just like all of the songs pretty much are.
Well, awesome. You should definitely be familiar with him and all the bands, all the projects that he's been involved with.
Yeah, his voice is gorgeous.
He's a little bit like the guy from Big Wreck, who sounds very much like Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few people who sounds like him.
I opened up Amazon Music and look what came right up.
Wow, I kind of see. Very nice. Is that the band you were listening to?
Actually, it was, correct.
Very nice.
I have the other two bands that I streamed.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay, so I already mentioned Spin Doctor. And these three bands are bands that I don't listen to very often, but that's why I listened to them today. I just wanted to go back and listen to something I haven't heard in a while. So, Spin Doctors, Damn Yankees, and Concrete Blonde.
Oh, Concrete Blonde. Oh. Nice. That's a little 90s college rock there. That's pretty eclectic.
That one little hit in the early 90s, yeah.
Joey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole album was good.
Lacey, you could crush the vocals on that song.
I don't know if I know that song. I would have to hear it. Sometimes I'm really bad with, like, titles and stuff.
Okay,
but
well.
I'll listen to it and see.
We need your songs now so we can end this.
Well, I know that I've been listening to a lot of Patsy Cline lately, so that's probably one of them. And I have been listening to a lot of Pete Scholder, so that's probably also one, too. And the other... I don't know who else. Just because, like, I listen to... I'll put on, like, Patsy Cline Radio or something, so, like, let's say Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, any of the kind of outlaw country.
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell.
Mm.
Where do we sit on Eddie Rabbit?
He's got a lot of good pop songs.
He does. He does.
Well, see, I remember being a kid and he was played on rock radio.
He was country. Country and rock radio both. He was kind of cross. Eddie Rabbit. All right. We're gonna end with Eddie Rabbit. That's good. Holy shit. Okay. Lacey and Jason, thank you guys so much for being on. Couple things. You got a Patreon page. You guys wanna promote? It's great, by the way. Tell us a little bit about Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon is kind of a newer thing. Jason is on there. Thank you for being a patron, buddy. We put a lot of behind the scenes stuff on there. You get all of our songs for free. You get to see everything first, you get to hear everything first. We have discounts on merch specifically for you. We have an open chat where we can talk about anything you want to talk about. And we only have here, it's $5 a month.
Very good, very fair. And again, like, that's how I've seen some of these clips or pictures, stills from the videos that have come up, your premiere songs, your premiere videos early. It's really great. You guys are engaging. I'm on a lot of Patreons. I don't get super involved in the stuff only because I do a pod. Like, I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, so if I'm not interacting a lot, no, I'm there layering in the background.
You're fine.
Watching Rockula and, like, paying attention.
Yeah, it's all good.
Jason was doing some video, some guitar stuff, testing out some guitars, showing off some guitars, too.
Yeah, we're going to do more guitar stuff with him, for sure.
I want more Jason and more guitars.
Yeah. We heard you. You're not the only one.
And your music reviews of stuff I send you. We're going to do a segment. It's going to be, like, Jason and Jason.
Jason, that I think would be pretty entertaining for people, actually. You guys,
I'm going to send you music. What's that?
Conversation.
We should.
Not in text and record them.
I love chatting with Jason. We have good conversations, don't we, Jason?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you should let us all hear them.
No.
No.
I just know to make sure it's not in the group chat with Lacey because she's always like, can you... whatever, like, leave us alone, leave me alone, or like, leave me off this. All right, we've got your Patreon page. Where else do our listeners go to find out more about your music, your videos, all the good stuff?
Just YouTube. Go to our YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
Subscribe. You can listen to all the songs. You can watch all the videos. Everything's there.
It is the best.
We're on Facebook and Instagram, but they really suck these days. You can follow up there. We post up there.
You might not.
But we're trying to back away from that a little bit just because they shadow ban us, they screw us over, they don't let our posts reach, they want us to pay so that our posts reach our followers and
So the best things to do is to go to our website. We also have an email list to set to sign up for. Our website is bourbonhouserocks.com. YouTube is great because it's not a social media platform. So it doesn't depend on algorithms. You know, if you're following us, you're going to see it. That's how it is. So definitely go over to.
Are you doing your stretch videos on that too? Cause that's one thing we're doing on Instagram, like your stretching stuff.
I started a new channel for that. That's just a Lathy Pro channel. But I do, if you want to stretch with me, I have a stretching channel as well. But no, our Bourbon House channel is just Bourbon House stuff.
Okay. Very nice. Well, again, you guys are killing it. The songs, the music has been awesome. The videos, again, I love the videos, Brian. We love the, Brian loves the videos. He wants to be in a video. So yes. Thanks so much for joining us. We're looking forward to the new, what date's the single coming out? The 9th?
12th, April 12th.
12th. Yeah. The video on, is the video on the 12th as well?
The video will be the week after.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Song's coming out the 12th. Video the following week. We get to see a food fight and some slow motion guitar shredding. So I'm already intrigued.
We're gonna shut that out. Be great.
And the new record. Do we have a title for the new record?
We don't. We have. Tell us. Give us one right now. Go.
Krusty's. Incorporated.
Good Lord. Bourbon House Krusty's. Yes.
Oh my God.
That was awesome.
All right. Thank you two for joining us and putting up with my shenanigans. Brian was always the quality, respectable person. Over to you, Brian.
Thank you so much, Jason and Lacey, for coming on again. I definitely will get onto that Patreon right after we're done with this and the latest video is Freight Train. You got a new one coming up on the 12th, the single coming out, video after that. When I get on a Patreon, I want to, Jason, I like that you're a Stratocaster guy. There's so many Les Paul people and Telecaster people. And I've played bass for a long time, just started playing guitar recently. So I'm playing Strats. So cool. Kudos to you on the Strat thing. So thank you both for coming on. Always a great time. Always a lot of laughs. We love everything you do. We promote everything you do. And your band is fantastic. So thank you for being here again.
Thank you so much for having us. We love you guys too.
Thank you again to Jason and Lacey from Bourbon House for coming on to chat with us and providing a lot of laughter. I'm really enjoying these catching up with episodes because it's just kind of, you know, we talked about the video. That was sort of the topic, but it just went all over the place. And we're enjoying that. And true crime comes up yet again.
I think you need to do this, Brian. I think we got to do at least one episode, maybe like a quarterly thing where you do a quarterly true crime. Because, you know, listen, Tracy and Susan and Jason, Jason and Lacey are great. You guys would be phenomenal. Maybe I could like produce or facilitate the discussion for everybody.
Yeah. Like I say, I'm so used to us just like kind of being, you know, funny guys. Yeah. Like, do I got to be serious?
But I think when you have that many people and you're all talking about the same subject, everybody's going to bring a little something to the conversation. So you don't have to be an expert, like know everything. And that's, I think would be the fun part.
Yeah. I could probably ask like questions and I could be educated.
Well, that's just kind of it. You know, hey, what did you think about that? Did somebody really commit the crime? Like, kind of like we're talking a little bit on the case with Steve Avery. No, what was his name?
Yeah. Stephen Avery.
Stephen Avery. Yeah. It'd be good. But I think a quarterly true crime episode of All Things Blues and Southern Rock.
Yeah, no, that I think we'll do it.
Yeah.
It'll happen when it's meant to happen.
Yes, correct. Maybe it would be a nice summer break activity.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Always love talking with Jason and Lacey. That always brings out the worst in me where I have to say random stupid stuff, but they hang in there and you hang in there as well. So it's appreciated.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, yeah, Lacey is one of the best singers out there.
Yeah, just incredible jazzy, bluesy rock voice, especially for somebody that really didn't start out as a performer originally.
And it was cool listening to him talk about Cry at Love and Oddly Free and Damon Johnson, because I think Bourbon House is like going more in that sort of like kind of blues rock, blues bass, kind of almost southern flavored kind of sound. Kind of bringing that in more, growing in that kind of direction.
And Jason's playing is very similar. It's very tasteful. It's not like showing off flash. You know what I mean? He's playing the right notes in the right spaces, and you know, creating some really great riffs and stuff on there too. So it is, I think you're right on your assessment on kind of directionally they're headed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's totally what they're sounding like. And having great concepts for the video, I always like, in my mind, they all attach in some sort of way and tell a story.
There's an overarching story with everything.
Which is great because it's nice for everybody to have their own interpretation of a song or a video or, you know, what have you.
Yep. Yeah. And again, super creative, man. Like I love the videos tell a story. They're fun to watch. Again, it's like when the videos were a big thing in the 80s and early 90s. It's just, it's great. It's nostalgic.
Yeah. And I got to get on that Patreon that they have. So I will be doing that very soon. So until I do that, while I do that, around the time I do that, always remember, Southern rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time.
I was born no good. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.